So this morning I want to carry on with the theme of theology. And what we're doing this morning is we're talking about the knowledge of God. And if you don't have a book on theology, do yourself a favor and get yourself one. Because in studying all the different themes and topics in theology, we get to understand God better. So this morning in the knowledge of God, you know, it is how we know God. How can we know God? And if you say to me, oh, look, do you know the Prime Minister? I said, yeah, I do know him. But do you know him as well as you know your wife? And obviously not. You know, I know my wife in a different way than what I know the Prime Minister. I know his name. I know what he looks like. I know what he sounds like. But that's about it. But I don't know him as I would know, let's say, my wife. So, and this morning what I want to talk about is, how do you know God? In which way, in what way do you know God? Do you know God like you know the Prime Minister? Or do you know God like you know your spouse? You know, what energizes them, what they love, what they hate. How do you know God? So, look, this is a very exciting topic. This is a very exciting topic. And we all normally think, oh man, if I start to read theology books and you just read it as a book, it means nothing. Oh, almost nothing. If you just read it like a storybook, it can make you fall asleep. But if you read it and you can see God, your Savior, in there unfolding salvation and what it means for us, it makes a big difference. So this morning I want to talk about how well do you know God and how do you know God? In what way do you know God? And then also, how do we get to know God better? What can we do to step in that relationship of not knowing God as a Prime Minister, but knowing God as you would know your spouse? So we see this theme of knowing God throughout the Bible. I mean, let me just read a verse for you in John 14:8. It says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. So God's desire is that people will know him intimately, not know him like the Prime Minister. You either sit here this morning and you know God like a Prime Minister, or you know God like a spouse, or any area in between that. Jeremiah 9:23 says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So what is he saying? Let not boast how clever you are. Let not boast how strong and fit you are. Don't boast in how much money you've got in the bank. But boast about this, that you have understanding to know God. Let's boast in that. So God's desire is that we will know him, that we will know him intimately. It is tragic when people don't know God. And we see that throughout the Bible. This scripture says, we will die of a lack of knowledge. God, throughout scripture, he says, if you know me, and you can see that, it normally turns out well. But then God says, the lack of knowledge has got massive consequences. So Isaiah 4 says this, and it says, hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites. Because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land, there is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. And verse 6, my people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. So the lack of genuine knowledge about God destroys people. People get destroyed through the lack of knowledge, through the lack of knowing God intimately. So we can all go through life, we can come to church, we can tick all the boxes, but we can lack knowing God in an intimate way. And this morning, I want to pull the curtain wide open and say, that is it. What can we do to change that? And that is something that God wants to change. And I think it's a good idea, even in home groups, that we'll just touch on this topic this week further, is knowing God. How do you know God? How well do you know God? So what does God want from his people? And we see in Isaiah 6:6, and he says, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." So God's desire is for us to get him known better and more intimate. Because God wants to be known by his people. God wants to be known by his people. Imagine you've got a family, you've got a wife, you've got kids, and in your house, you only know your kids as well as you know the prime minister. How sad would that be? You never spend, you know what interests them, you don't know what irritates them, you don't know what they love, and you carry on in life like that. And that is how we can treat God as well. We can treat God in the same way. So here's the question, how do I get to know God better? So we're going to look at that question this morning. But before we look at that question, how do we get to know God better? There are two things we have to know. There's two problems that we have to overcome. So the one is that God is infinite. God is limitless, he's endless, he's unmeasurable, he's unlimited, he's without limit. He is just, we cannot think or understand the size or the depth of God's love with our human brains. It is just impossible. You know, I said we were in a Christian concert one day, and it was not too big. We were about 8,000 people, and all of a sudden, I think the guy was preaching about salvation or someone knowing God or, you know, getting saved, and God knows everything from when that person got born throughout his life until at the adult stage they got saved. And I just sat there and I thought, wow, imagine God knows all of that information about me from when you were born and even before that, your whole life. He knows everything until you're adult, how you got saved. He knows every little detail. So if you put that in computer terms, that's a lot of information. And then I thought, wow, so if God knows all of that about me, imagine he knows all of that about 8,000 people here tonight. Then you think, wow. So in our year, just think about that quickly. So to know something, that much information about 8,000 people, you have to be some kind of God. And we have to be over quite a computer. And then I took it further and I thought, wow, 7 billion people. Imagine God knows everything about every person on the planet, times that by 7 billion for how many years and going back in history. You see where I'm going? It's quite overwhelming when you think God knows all of that and he hasn't got a problem with that. He's not like, whew, man, this is getting tough for me, you know? 2 billion, I can't remember what's his name again. It's not like that. So what this is saying is, oh my goodness, we are just so different. God is just so much more than what we can imagine. So Isaiah 55 verse 8 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so often, you know, we get frustrated in life because life doesn't work out. And we think, oh my goodness, God, where are you? Why are you so slow? You know? Ah, man, flat white, so good. God, why are you so slow? And we get frustrated in life, you know. Things doesn't work out. I don't get the breakthrough I want to get. I'm not getting the job that I want to get. Things just don't work out. And we get frustrated. But then we forget that God is God and we are not. You know, God is infinite and we are not. And it makes a huge difference. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:21. And it says, "Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe." So what he's saying, because of God is infinite, we are not. We cannot get to know God intimately out of our own self-effort. because he is infinite and we are not. Secondly, is because he is holy and we are sinful. So because God is holy and we are sinful, there's a massive gap between us. And there's nothing we can do about that. But God did something about it. So we see those two things. God is holy, God is infinite, and we are neither of those. And that's one of the two of the stumbling blocks in terms of getting to know God better. And we have to understand those things if we have to grow in the revelation of God. So the only way to get to know God better is if he grants that knowledge to us. If he comes to us and he makes known to us. And so what I want to move on to is revelation. So if there's no revelation, if there's no uncovering, and if you look at the word revelation, it means uncovering of something that wasn't known. So God comes, so I'll give you an example. So even the kids next door, from an early age, they get taught that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for their sins. And it's lovely, and they can recite it, they know it, they can write it down, but it is head knowledge at a very little age. So they know from a very little age that Jesus is the Son of God, he died on the cross for my sins, wonderful, let's go and have lunch. But for them to truly know God, they will have to have a revelation of who God is. And so, yes, head knowledge, Jesus died for me on the cross, wonderful. But at some stage in their life, God will have to come and lift the covers and say, this is for you. This is what I died for you. And God gives them that revelation, uncovering of the truth. So, wow, Jesus, you did it for me. You know, previously, this was a Bible story. Yeah, I know Jesus is the Son of God. It's like the Prime Minister. I know he is Prime Minister. Jesus, yeah, of course, he's the Son of God. But at some stage in our lives, we need that uncovering of God, the revelation to say, oh my goodness, he is the Son of God. He died in my place. Why? Because I couldn't save myself. And we need him. So we see that right through the Bible. And we need that revelation. That is the only way we can get it. It doesn't matter how much you study. It doesn't matter how much you read your Bible. It doesn't matter how much you come to church. You can come to church morning, lunchtime, evening, 7 days a week. It doesn't matter. You cannot get that revelation out of your own self-will. You need God to highlight it. You need God to lift the covers and show you, this is what I'm saying. We need that. So Matthew 16, verse 17 says this. It was a story, let me just read this quickly. 17 says, Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. So he all of a sudden realized, oh my goodness, he is Jesus. He is the Son of God. And we see Jesus say, you are blessed, because this wasn't revealed by anyone else. This was something revealed. This is a revelation given by God. So this revelation that he received there is not him going and studying late at night, and then he figured out through getting a private detective, doing research, doing some science experiments, and then he gets to a calculation. He says, oh, I see, he is the Son of God. You know, it's a very stupid example, but, you know, we cannot do that. It's only by revelation from God. So we've got different kinds of revelations. So we have a general revelation where we go on holiday and we see an amazing view. And I was just, while I was preparing this, I thought of, I remind myself, we went to Sydney to the Blue Mountains and you stand right on top and you just look over that massive valley and you see the Blue Mountains in the distance and you think, wow, that is amazing, you know? And it's things like that that says, man, the heavens and the earth, and it declares the goodness of God. So God gives us general revelation. We look at mountains, the sky, the stars, and we just think, or we look at a beautiful sunset and think, wow, God, you're amazing. You know, I love lightning and thunder. There's such a good, explanation why thunder, how it happens, things like that. But I still think it's an absolute joke. How can you make electricity come from the sky that powerful And why is there not lightning all the time when there's clouds rubbing against each other? Why isn't it always negatives and positives and fields? You know, why is it just certain times? And you just see, wow, that's amazing. That's good. So general revelation, we see, we look at heaven and earth and say, wow, God, you're amazing. You know, I love it when we sit outside in the evenings and you look at the sky and the stars, you think, man, God, you're amazing. Look at the stars. Huh? You think, how cool is that? So general revelation. Where am I? I'm going too fast. I'm overtaking myself. So Psalm 19 verse 1 says this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. So we can see this in nature. How good, how beautiful is God. Who can create these things? And then we get special revelation. And in special revelation, there are two things that I want to point out. And the one is, we need a special revelation to be saved. Like I just mentioned earlier with the little kids in children's church, without a special revelation, without God coming to them and say, yes, you've heard this many times in children's church, you know who I am, but I want to show you what I have done for you. God lifts the cover, special revelation. Oh, wow, God, you died for me. I'm sinful. I cannot get to God without you. Special revelation. So we get special revelation, and that brings us into a relationship with God. So in a special revelation, God makes himself known. So for example, we see a special revelation. Moses in front of the burning bush, God makes himself known to Moses. And God wants to make himself known in the same way to us today. Today in our Christian walk as well. God wants each of us to have a Moses experience. He says, wow, I met with God. Special revelation. So we see that that theme all over the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, we see all the prophets. God gives the prophet a message. Hopefully the people hoped it was a good one. And then they will hear this message from God. They'll come to the people and say, God said. And then he gives the revelation. In the New Testament, God used, that revelation comes through Jesus. So in the Old Testament, Jesus said, you heard the prophet said this, but I say to you. So we see that change happening in the New Testament. Yep, prophets happen through them. We see in the New Testament, but now I say to you, special revelation, God communicating directly to his people, And even today, we can live with the Old Testament revelation. We can wait and try and get this revelation, and it's through prophets, but actually God wants to speak to you direct. God wants to communicate to you directly, and we can miss it completely. It doesn't stop there. It carries on today where we meet together as Christians now in church, in home groups, in prayer meetings, when the worship teams gather, when people get together to pray. Or that happens today as well. And let me read the scripture, Ephesians 1, verse 17. And it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So he wants to give us a fuller understanding of his son and what he has done. So we can all sit in church and we can say, yeah, we're Christians, let's carry on. But even if you've been saved for 10, 20, 30 years, even if you've led a church, God still wants to give you more of his son, Jesus Christ. He still wants to give you a better understanding of who he is and what he wants to do in your life. So God also gives us a revelation for us to build up one another. So listen to this. This is in 1 Corinthians 14:26, and it's Paul says in his letter, verse 26, he says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. So Paul confirms this ongoing revelation. So yeah, we see in the Old Testament, We carry on. We see in the New Testament through Jesus Christ, God wants to uncover, God wants to reveal more about himself. We're going to live such boring Christian lives if we don't have this, if we don't have a revelation of who Jesus is. So what is he saying? Just listen to this. So when we meet together, and Paul, I'm sorry, but this is very similar to Hebrews 10:24. When you come together, each of you has a hymn, word of instruction, revelation, tongue, or interpretation. Why? So that God can be made known better. So, you know, we live with understanding. We come to church, and Viv spent time in his Bible study. God gives him a dream, and he think, oh my goodness, that's a dream about Jubes. And Sunday morning, he comes to Jubes and says, listen, God showed me a picture. I want to share this with you. It blows Jubes' mind. He think, wow, phew, thank you, God. Thank you for who you are. What is that? God gives Viv a revelation to give Jubes a revelation of what God wants to do or who he is so that he can understand him better, have a deep understanding of his grace and his truth. So it didn't stop in the Old Testament. It didn't stop when Jesus was alive. It carries on today in church that we need revelation. And God is not using Old Testament prophets. He's using me and you to help one another, to build one another up. You know, I've shared so many stories in the frontier of special revelation through people that helped me on my way. I mean, in the past, I've heard occasions when people come to me and say, look, I really felt God say this. And I think, wow, man, if I just think of it, I cannot see how this will work. I cannot see what it means right now, and it doesn't make sense, but okay, thank you. And then 6 months later, that exact thing happens. And it's like God taps him on the shoulder and he says, can you remember 6 months ago, I asked Eddie to share that story with you? And I think, God, you're amazing. You are amazing. The sad thing is we can suppress that. The sad thing is we can ignore that. And we all just live on one level. One level. No revelation. No uncovering. How boring. How boring. God, help us not to be boring Christians. Help us. Help us. So, God wants to use us to bring special revelation. We don't give the revelation. God gives it, but we carry that. It's our job. God is the God of revelation, and is ready to give it through his Spirit. So God is ready. God is ready to give us a revelation of him. Wherever you are in your Christian walk today, please don't think that that is it. That is so much more that God wants to show you, lead you into, and you to explore. Please don't stop where you are. And so we see in that 1 Corinthians 14 scripture that God wants to strengthen us. He wants to strengthen the local church. And he gives us opportunities to do that. Today is opportunity. When you get together in a home group, opportunity. When you meet for prayer meetings, opportunity. But it doesn't have to stop there. I mean, it can be any day of any week. But yeah, we've got opportunities for God to use you to bring, uncover special revelation for someone else so that the Christian community can be built up, be healthy and strong. How amazing is that? My goodness. And you know what? That is not a heaven or hell issue. We're not going to go to hell if we don't do these things. But we're going to be so much better off if we do. Imagine that. Imagine that. So, where am I in my notes? I'm almost done. So, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the insurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So, God himself, his ways, his purposes, belongs in exactly the same category. Things not seen. It's an amazing thing if you think about that. Because, you know, we can hear things about God, but do we actually see it? Is there evidence that that will come true? It's not. We need faith. And to receive this revelation from God, we need to have antennas. And our antennas is faith. And I said, how do I get my antenna out. How does that work? You know, I need faith. And we need faith because when God brings special revelation, like I just said, it is so sad we can miss it completely. Or we suppress it. Or we say no to it. And we're going to end up being boring Christians. And so what we need to do in this is we have to say yes to God. Whenever we meet together, whenever you wake up in the morning, say yes to God. Make a decision in your heart that you are going to say yes to God. You are going to respond to God so that we don't suppress and close the door for God to bring us a revelation of more of who He is, what He has done, His grace, His truth, His forgiveness.